Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is the Donna Sebo Show. I'm Donna Sebo, and we are starting off this year with a dynamic program that we hope is not only going to inspire you, especially if you have made a resolution that you're going to be two dress sizes or down 4 or 5 inches in the waistline. We have got a delightful guest and a wonderful subject matter, food. Yes, it's something we absolutely need to have to live richly and fully and healthfully in life. But we're going to be taking a little bit of a different twist with this. If you're like me, you enjoy Mexican food, spicy food. Well, we're going to be traveling to the Caribbean today, and my guest, Lorena Drago, is going to be chatting with us about Beyond Rice and Beans. This is the Caribbean Latino guide to eating healthy, especially if you're concerned about blood sugar, if you have diabetes. But I'll tell you what, after reviewing this book, it goes for anybody. Lorena, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Now, where are you located?
I am in New York.
Oh, ho, 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 and the temps have dropped there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Here we are with a brand new year, and one of the strongest resolutions that most people have is, oh, I've eaten so much over the holidays, or I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other. And before we went on air, I mentioned to you how much I had enjoyed reviewing this material, because I don't know about most people, but I love south of the border foods. I love anything that has spice and real good flavor, and the Caribbean is known for those kinds of dishes. But little did I realize that there is a significant change in the lives of many of the people who live in the Caribbean, that they have a major problem with diabetes.
Yes, yes, more so than even other Hispanic subgroups.
Now, give us a few stats on that.
Sure.
That absolutely blew my mind. I thought, this can't be real. I mean, these people, in a million years, I would never have associated with having a predisposition towards this. Tell us what the stats are and why this has evolved.
Well, we have three major Hispanic Latino subgroups in the United States. We have Mexicans that account for more than 60% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Puerto Ricans. And we also have Cubans. So those are the main three. And then we have other countries from Central and South America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to Caribbean Latinos, mostly from Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and Cuba, even for those three different Hispanic subgroups, Puerto Ricans will have the highest rate of diabetes. Just to give you an example in terms of numbers, that even though Mexicans rate of diabetes type 2 is about 24%, Puerto Ricans have 26%. So it's very high among adults between the ages of 45 and 74. And your second question is why? We have two components, not exclusive. I'm sure that there are more that we haven't even found about. But the major one that we know is lifestyle. And lifestyle could mean anything from the foods that we are eating more of or less of, physical activity, it could be smoking, etc., all those components. But at the same time, there's also a genetic component. Genetic, we as Latinos, there's a difference between ethnicity and race. Ethnicity is really our language, our culture. But our race, depending on the agenetic mixture, there is race, there is white, there is black, and there is also Native Indian. So depending on that genetic composition, the rates of diabetes will be higher. So So someone who is of Mexican descent might have more Spaniard, Indian, and less black mixture in their genetic makeup. Someone from Puerto Rico most likely will have more white and black and also Indian. And those groups, both blacks and Indians, tend to have a predisposition to diabetes. So that combined with the lifestyle factors increases that prevalence of type 2 diabetes.
Now that's really fascinating information, because so many of us will take a positioning of I'm white, I'm black, I'm yellow, I'm green, I'm polka-dotted purple, something of one level or another. Well, really, there's such a mixture in almost all of us.
That is correct. So I think that it depends, Donna, is not just that everyone who is going to have 20, 30, 15% black or Indian or white will immediately get diabetes, but we're talking about having that combination in addition to the lifestyle factors, and that in itself makes that right combination. So if we can talk about food and use an analogy, we can take flour, and that flour prepared a certain way can give us a slice of bread, and prepared in another way can give us a cake, but we still have flour. Mm-hmm. So depending on what we add and how we mix it, then we are going to have the end product. And the same thing happens with diabetes, and I'm sure with many other conditions.
Now, I want to let my audience know a little bit about your background. You are a registered dietitian and a certified diabetes educator. You have a number of certifications. You also are the owner and founder of Hispanic Foodways. And this is an organization that really works with and designs culturally innovative programs for those people who are educating others about diabetes, working with Hispanics who have this condition, which many people, when they get it, I was just on the phone with a woman last night who lives in the South, and she has diabetes, and this was a stunning revelation to her. She just absolutely was shocked when she was told that this was what was causing certain physical conditions. Now, you are developed the Health-Oriented Latinos in Action, and that's OLA Project, a culturally competent diabetes self-management telephone program, which is marvelous for Latinos with diabetes. And as we know, you live in New York. What made you decide that you were going to focus on this particular area of nutritional understanding and need, and specifically the diabetic situation?
Donna, I am very solution-driven, and that means that every time that I either went to a lecture, went to college, spoke with my colleagues, I kept hearing about health disparities, I kept hearing about that Latinos had the highest rates of diabetes and cardiovascular disease and all those things. And I, instead of just repeating and repeating the problems, I wanted to find solutions. What were the barriers? Why were we at a higher risk? Why was it that with all the medications and technology, we still were lagging behind in our numbers and in complications? Then I started researching, and I found out that there were many barriers, both the patient side, somebody wanting a diet, quote-unquote, and given a diet, and all of a sudden this person was eating a certain way, but the diet foods had nothing to do with their own culture and food traditions. So if all of a sudden I am given this particular meal plan, but 6 out of the 10 foods are not matching the foods that I am accustomed to, most likely I am not going to follow that. If I have certain health beliefs, but my medical care provider doesn't know and cannot even address them, most likely I am not going to be compliant. So I felt that as a Latina and someone that was working with the Latino community, that I needed to step up to the plate and create a program, and this is a telephone program that is free to anyone that has diabetes or is at risk of developing diabetes. And it was a way that I could provide them this one-on-one diabetes education and nutrition counseling over the phone in the comfort of their office or home. And they received the materials, and the materials are in Spanish or English, but most important, that they are culturally appropriate. So the meal plans include their favorite foods. I address many of the health beliefs that I know to be common among various Hispanic subgroups, because the goal is to have a healthy individual that feels in control of managing his or her diabetes, and this person can actually be productive, go to work, go to school, and at the same time to reduce health care costs, because we are spending, according to the American Diabetes Association, about $132 billion per year, and this was a figure from 2002, in costs related to diabetes. So I just wanted to be part of that solution.
You have some really interesting stories to tell about different people. And for those of you who are listening, we're talking about Beyond Rice and Beans, the Caribbean Latino Guide to Eating Healthy with Diabetes. But I can tell you from having gone through this book, it's about eating healthy, period.
That's correct.
And anybody, but if you're like me and you enjoy cultural diversifications in food, this is a real education. It's absolutely marvelous. Now, you talk in here about one lady whose husband had diabetes, and she found she had a disposition towards diabetes. She loved to cook. She'd cook every day because her family couldn't stand leftovers, which just absolutely made me chuckle. So here she is doing all this cooking, and she did not want to sacrifice taste. And part of what you were educating her about was cutting back on the high fat patterning that is in many of the typical dishes that are fixed. I'll never forget years ago when I was experiencing with refried beans, and I was astonished to find out that lard, and a very large amount of that, was part of the process of making homemade refried beans. And again, this was many years ago, and I said, forget the lard. Who's going to use that? I'm not going to use that. But that's something that often with many of the recipes and the various cultures, there is a lot of fat. And tell us how you enabled her to be comfortable with cutting back on fat, because fat does provide taste.
Fat absolutely provides taste. What fat does, Donna, is it wraps the taste so that it can burst in your mouth. That's pretty much what it does, and that is why it's so tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the best example that I can use is the weaning process. And this is something that I have done with many of my patients when it comes to something as simple as switching from whole milk to skim milk. I always hear, oh my gosh, it tastes like water.
Mm-hmm.
But if we slowly wean ourselves from whole milk and then mix half 2%, half whole milk, then continue to decrease one and increase the low-fat one, eventually your taste buds will get used to it. So by doing the reduction in fat gradually, switching to oils, my favorite is extra virgin olive oil, switching and changing the ratio little by little, you don't miss it. There is no need to add 2 serving spoons of oil to the rice. Caribbeans make rice and they add about two serving spoons of oil, depending on the amount of rice that is used. Many times when I tell them, can you at least cut back maybe to 1.5, most likely no one will notice the taste.
Mm-hmm.
The taste is usually noticed when it goes to totally non-fat, but there's no need to completely cut the fat. Just change the fat to a healthier one, like olive oil, and then season it. We have so many seasoning herbs and spices, and I think that is also a very good way to actually increase the taste. I love the zest of lime added to the foods, of even oranges added to the food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is certainly a way that you can find and remain palatable, because there's nothing better than a wonderful, exquisite meal. So I would never sacrifice taste, but you can modify it enough so that you're still having something that is delectable and at the same time that it's healthy and it's not an oxymoron.
Well, so many of us this past holiday season are feeling sort of bloated and full, and of course we have savored delicious delectables that during most of the year we just run away from, we just have a horror of. But that's part of the joy of the holidays. One of the things that you bring out is carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my husband has many times said, Donna, you're a carbohydrate addict. I mean, I love baked potatoes, and I can, you know, just eat them with salt and pepper. It's just one of those things. I just love them. And he said, that's just something that you really go for that. And that's true. You bring out information about how to become a carbohydrate budget expert. And that's a tough one for almost everybody that I know.
I think that it truly might be challenging, but I think that if you start with step one, which is modifying the types of carbohydrates. So I think that we can do two things, and we don't have to do them all at once. If the first thing that you can do is do something about your carbs, it would be change the quality of your carbohydrates and then tackle the quantity. By changing the quality, I am a fan of legumes or beans. And for the New Year's, one, I usually like to have all these traditions for New Year's Day, etc. And one of them is cooking legumes and eating that on January 1st. And I made a lentil stew. And beans are really a staple of the Caribbean. It's just that we use different beans. Cubans like black beans, and the Puerto Ricans like pink beans, Dominicans like Roman beans. But beans are a great source of fiber, magnesium, and other vitamins and minerals, and they are also a very good source of carbohydrate, high-quality carbohydrate. And we also hear of whole grains, but we always think that whole grain is having whole wheat bread, without thinking that other grains, some in Mexico, for example, like amaranth, like spelt, those are whole grains as well. Corn is a whole grain. Oats is a whole grain. So if we can try and center our carbohydrates based on whole grains such as oats and brown rice and wild rice and legumes, I think that we are going towards a much better source of carbohydrate that has what I call staying power, meaning that when we have hearty grains, we are not going to be as hungry, because it seems, and there's something called the glycemic index, glycemic load, that certain carbohydrates will be digested faster and spike blood glucose levels. The ones that have more staying power tend to be digested slower compared to the other ones and will have that staying power. So by switching that from poor quality carbohydrates, meaning the ones with refined grains, and usually there's more sugar and fat added to it, we will probably decrease that craving for more carbohydrates. So I think that that is something that we can attempt to do. It's little by little looking at our carbs in our diet and try every week to switch from a not so good source of carbohydrate to a better quality source of carbohydrate.
I had to chuckle at one of your stories when you said that for all of the hoopla that has been made about fast food restaurants, you really feel that the Hispanics were the true original rice supersizers. Because
yes.
that is the buzzword. Supersized food is really bad. I mean, we're going through all this kind of stuff, and nobody's forcing anybody's mouth to take this stuff in. You know, people are standing in line to do this. So we have put the positioning of responsibility, I think, in the wrong place. The individual is the one that has to be responsible. And you say in here, if you've ever gone to a Hispanic restaurant and ordered takeout, rice is often served alone in a 9-inch round aluminum container about 3 inches deep. So when you're talking to your patients about what they should have, and you say, you need to have a third of a cup, they take a look at that third of a cup portion, and they look at this 9-inch round thing and say, you've got to be kidding.
Donna, I have to tell you this story because it's so appropriate. My husband and I went to a Spanish restaurant, and I ordered rice, which always comes with the beans in the
mm-hmm.
Spanish restaurant. This was a Puerto Rican takeout restaurant. And I think that I had chicken stew. I mentioned to the lady, because they usually have everything behind the counter, so I'm looking when she's serving. And I know that she's going to give me enough rice to feed my entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that. It was only me for lunch. And when I see her, I say to her, I said, please, honey, could you do me a favor and only give me about 2 tablespoons of rice? She could not believe what I was saying, so she started pouring more. And I said, honey, could you take some off the plate? And she started little by little. And she kept looking at me in horror, like she could not believe what I was telling her. So she finally, I said, you know what? That's okay, because I saw that she was really contorting. It was almost out of a movie, like a horror movie. And she went ahead to pour the beans and then the chicken stew. Do you know, before she covered that plate, she went back to the rice and she scooped 1 serving spoon of rice on top of everything. She could not let it go. She just could not. I didn't say to her, charge me less, I'm going to pay you less. She just could not do it. And my husband was just laughing and laughing because he just understood, because of everything that I have been talking about, how it's so ingrained in the culture that even when you tell them what to serve you, they just can't. It just simply cannot be done. So the best advice is share it with your husband and your friend, or eat some and then take the rest home.
It is amazing. It really is amazing. And I chuckled because I could just see this woman saying, she looks like she's starving. I can't let her go without more food.
Well, because for Latina women, usually Rubenesque is where it is.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that is being sexy.
Uh-huh.
And it's not even, she was asking me why. Yeah, she did. She goes like, why? And I said, well, you know, wait, honey, wait. And she just looked at me, without being able to understand almost the connection between weight gain and the amount of rice. So I always say, stretch the rice. Add the vegetables so that now you can see something plentiful and meaningful on your plate. And then I say, get less rice, add more beans, because of their staying power and also because of its nutritional value.
You have a chart in your book, and for those of you listening, this is called Beyond Rice and Beans. Now, this is the Caribbean Latino Guide to Eating Healthy, but you know what? Anybody can use this, and it's a marvelous, marvelous book. Now, here is some information. If you're wanting to get to a particular goal weight, let's say, there's activity factors. There's activity factor of 11 if you're sedentary. There's activity factor of 12 if you're somewhat active, and that means you're standing most of the day. You're maybe like a teacher or you're doing laboratory work. Positioning of 13 where you're moderately active. You take daily walks. You garden. You're doing housework. And 14 is very active. And this is pretty much across the board. It's not age discriminating. It is just this is what you do. So if you wanted to maintain, let's say you were 150 pounds and it was absolutely perfect for you and you are somewhat active, what you want to do is find out what your recommended daily caloric intake would be. And so you'd multiply 12 times 150, which is equivalent to 1,800 calories a day. If you want to lose weight, if you're at 150, and that's approximately what you're taking in every day, you want to take away 500 calories. And if you want to gain weight, then you add 500 calories to that 1,800. And you say specifically, Lorena, that the amount of carbohydrate in each meal is related to the total calories needed in a day. And I think that balance is so important. It's so very, very important. And here, your book gives such very good information on that. Is there a website that people can go to? And also, what's your direct line? Because if people wanted to know more, if they're of Hispanic, you know, a Cuban background, anything like this, or just wanted to chat with you in general, because this is good sense. It applies, as far as I'm concerned, all across the board.
Yes, I agree with you, and certainly I'm going to give you the phone now and then later on where people can leave me a message. And like I mentioned before, I am offering free telephone education classes, this teleconference. So if anyone is interested, well, the more the merrier. And the number is 718-263-3926, and I will repeat it again. The number is 718-263-3926. And just like you said, Donna, even though the book is geared towards people with diabetes, the meal plans and the information is really for everyone who just wants to eat better, and even for individuals who might not even be Hispanics or from the Caribbean, but someone who might just be a foodie, someone who wants to be a little bit more adventurous and has gone to the supermarket and seen all these different fruits or vegetables or canned goods or frozen goods, and they might want to incorporate new things into their diet. This is also a good way to find out what this fruit is about, how does it taste, how can it be prepared. Because I also wanted to have this book as a reference to healthcare professionals that are working with Latino clients, and this person comes there and talks to them about the foods that they like, but here it's this health professional that might not know about them, and the book serves as a reference to actually help that person with diabetes, or even the person who just wants to eat healthy to prevent diabetes and heart disease. And that is a good source.
Yes, and also I want to mention the book Beyond Rice and Beans is in both English as well as Spanish. So if you have a relative, someone that you know that maybe would enjoy receiving this book, and they are not real strong in English, well, the book also is in Spanish. So it is just very, very good, and it's a good tool to use. I think it's a great book to start out with. Good common sense goes a long way. And Lorena Drago has been my guest. Lorena, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Donna, and to all of you who are listening today.
Thank you so much. Give her a call if you'd like to talk with her directly. 718-263-3926. That's 718-263-3926. Lorena Drago, her last name is spelled D-R-A-G-O. Her wonderful book, Beyond Rice and Beans. We will be back in just a few seconds. Telephone lines will be open. Don't go away. We've got some wonderful things to share with you today on this day, the first day after New Year's 2007. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Our telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and let me light up your lunch with a little bit of insight, here are the toll-free numbers of 877-876-5227, and that's in the U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. And if you're wanting to call in from Canada, here's our toll-free number, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. For everyone else, it's 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I want to thank those of you who have been sending me emails. I have so appreciated the opportunity to receive the material, and I'm going to be sharing a lot of it over the airwaves during the coming weeks. I want you to know if you have a special story, something that you feel should be brought to my attention, please be sure to send it along to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And a number of you have already received my newsletter. There is another big group of you that are going to be receiving it this evening. I'll be sending out the rest of the newsletter, and it will be up online within the next few days. So I'm so pleased that we have been able to keep in touch. And even though we had a break for a week, hey, we have not disappeared. We are right here, ready to go in this new year with wonderful, wonderful guests that are going to be sharing the airwaves with us and their expertise as well. So give me a buzz if you would like for me to chat with you and give you insight into this new year of ours, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322 if you're going to call in from Canada. I wanted to share with you something that I thought was sort of cute. It's titled Don't Mess with Mom, and it came from Faye in Virginia. And it says, the child's comments and thoughts. And I thought this was really good because this came from a teacher. This was something that I enjoyed reading. And this is how it reads. My son came home from school one day with a smirk upon his face. He decided he was smart enough to put me in my place. Guess what I learned in civics, too, that's taught by Mr. Wright. It's all about the laws today, the Children's Bill of Rights. It says, I don't need to clean my room, don't have to cut my hair. No one can tell me what to think or speak or what to wear. I have freedom from religion, and regardless what you say, I don't have to bow my head, and I sure don't have to pray. I can wear earrings if I want, and pierce my tongue and my nose. I can read and watch just what I like, get tattoos from head to toe. And if you ever spank me, I'll charge you with a crime. I'll back up all my charges with the marks on my behind. Don't you ever touch me. My body's only for my use, not for your hugs and kisses. That's just more child abuse. Don't preach about your morals like your mama did to you. There's nothing more than mind control. And you know what? That's illegal, too. Mom, I have these children's rights, so you can't influence me. Or I'll call the Children's Services Division, better known as CSD. This is Mom's reply and thought. Of course, my first instinct was to toss him out the door, but the chance to teach him a lesson made me think a little more. I mulled it over carefully. I couldn't let this go. A smile crept upon my face. He's method with a pro. Next day, I took him shopping at the local Goodwill store. I told him, pick out all you want. There's shirts and pants galore. I've called and checked with CSD, who said they didn't care if I bought you Kmart shoes instead of those Nike Airs. By the way, I've canceled that appointment to take your driver's test. The CSD is unconcerned, so I'll decide what's this. I said, there's no time to stop and eat or pick up stuff to munch, and tomorrow you can start to learn to make your own sack lunch. Just save the raging appetite and wait till dinner time. We're having liver and onions, a favorite dish of mine. My son asked, can I please rent a movie to watch on my VCR? Sorry, kid, but I sold your TV for new tires on my car. Right away, I also rented out your room. You'll take the couch instead. The CSD requires just a roof over your head. Now, your clothing won't be trendy now. I'll choose what we eat. That allowance that you used to get will buy me something neat. Oh, and by the way, I'm selling off your jet ski, your dirt bike and roller blades. Check out the Parents' Bill of Rights. It's in effect today. Hey, hotshot, are you crying? Why are you on your knees? Are you asking God to help you out instead of CSD? And the little note to Kay Wood is that send to all the people that have teenagers who have already raised teenagers or have children who will soon be teenagers or those who will be parents someday or anyone who just get a laugh. I love this one. From a mom, which is the abbreviation for mean old mother. I think that is something that goes on in every generation. It's really funny. And again, it's a woman that is a teacher and she just wanted to share that with us. So we'll just start off with that little bit of insight into the generation gap. I guess that's what we'd call it. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to get a little bit of intuitive insight from me, give me a buzz. All I need is your first name or initial. You can call me at 877-876-5227 here in the U.S. From Canada, 888-810-8322. From anyone else, 530-876-3222. Sometimes we go through lessons of learning. We might even want to call them learning curves in life that are not particularly pleasant. And Zlata Filipovic, who was 11 years old, was like so many other girls her age. She kept a diary, and this was in 1991. And this is what she had entered into her diary. She said, we gave ourselves a treat today. It was during July. She said, we picked the cherries off of the tree in the yard, and we ate them all up. We watched the tree blossom, and its small green fruits slowly turn red, and now here we were eating them. Oh, what a wonderful cherry tree. Now, Zlata's words, if you read them, it sounds like any young person's musings and excitement and enthusiasm. However, that innocent summer of 1991 held a much deeper meaning. Because Zlata wrote the diary entry in the midst of war in her hometown of Sarajevo. She said, I miss fruit a lot. In these days of war in Sarajevo, there's no basic food or any of the other things a person needs, and there is no fruit. But now I can say that I ate myself silly on cherries. That was a very simple pleasure, very memorable, to a little girl who was seeing brutality daily. Now,
Zalata Filipovic made a statement about it. She said, that simple pleasure brought a lot of joy to me. She said, simple pleasures can do that if we take the time to appreciate what the moment offers. Here we are in a new year. This is a new day, as every day is a new day. But so frequently we will start off in the new year. We think, oh, I've got to have this resolution, that resolution, the other resolution, and we make all of our lists. And we don't realize that every single day of life is a day to be savored, to be enjoyed, and to be lived. So many times we get stuck in patternings of routine where we don't appreciate where we are in a moment. We don't really have a sense of gratitude for what's around us, for what we have. And I think that that is something that is so very, very important. Many times when we are accustomed to certain things being in our life on a regular basis, we just take it for granted that it would always be there. But that may not be the case, as Zalata Filipovic found. Now, eventually, things have changed, but there's still a lot of work that has to be done. But one of the lessons she learned from herself, from her own diary, is that in that moment, as an 11-year-old, she really appreciated what was a bounty given and could really enjoy it fully. So if you're finding after the holidays you're sort of grumpy, you're just not too happy maybe with something that somebody gave you, or you're just tired, or you're looking at all the things that are going wrong, why don't you do a shift? Deliberately pay attention to your thoughts. And make a deliberate shift into where you really want your thoughts to be on a right level. And when I say a right level, I mean a fulfilling level. Take on a patterning of gratitude. It really can make such a difference for you. Every single day has its gifts. And here we are with the opportunity to make this day one of the best days of your life and a memorable day. And sometimes we've just got so much going on, we forget to take time at the end of the day to think about what all we've really accomplished, who we've talked with, who we've interacted with, what we've done, where we've gone, maybe what our dreams are, giving ourselves time to work with our dreams. In my newsletter this month, the theme is bliss, and that's what I focused on. What's your bliss? What do you think your bliss would be? Look up bliss. Well, actually, it's in my newsletter, in my editorial, so you'll be able to read it there if you didn't want to look it up. But I thought I'd also share with you, being that this is right after the new year, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who is one of my favorite people, I think the man left such a marvelous legacy about positive attitudes, positive thinking. He had three suggestions for people after the new year. He said, if you really want your year to go right, make things right now. He said, list all your debts, not only money, but debts of gratitude, and pay them off. List any wrongs and make amends. That's one of the steps in the 12-step program with Alcoholics Anonymous and with any of the 12-step programs throughout the country. Make amends. Do that. And sometimes the person maybe has passed on or they can't be reached. Write them a letter. You may not be able to mail it, but just go ahead and write out what you want to have understood so that things can change. And believe me, it makes a difference. It changes something in the head. Well, number two, his recommendation was to practice the art of forgetting. Don't lug or hug resentments, frustrations, disappointments, and regrets into the new year. Let the past go and move ahead. You don't need all that mental garbage. Why? It's a waste of time. And it's too fatiguing. And last but not least, each day expect great things. Have high hopes, great dreams, believe that life is good, and it's going to be better, and that the best is yet to come. And you know what? You're likely to get just what you expect. Expectations. A fascinating topic. And we will cover that one day. I want to also let you know we've got a wonderful guest coming up tomorrow.
We're going to be talking about Knocking 'Em Dead in 2007. Martin Yates is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about going out into the world and finding that job that is just right for you. Martin has been a guest on previous programs, and I'm delighted to have him back again with the brand new revised edition of Knock 'Em Dead 2007. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, hey, phone lines are open. I'd love to chat with you. Give me a buzz if you'd like to do that. 877-876-5227. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. This is our first show of the new year. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All I'll need from you is your first name or initial, and then just let me do my thing. And after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. Here's the phone number for the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. From Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And then from anywhere and everywhere else, 530-876-3222. Now quickly, I'm giving you a little information about the guests upcoming. We've got a wonderful lineup this week. We're going to be talking about work, finding that wonderful job that you really desire. Knock 'Em Dead 2007 by Martin Yates. Also, we're going to be talking about The Anatomy of Peace with Jim Ferrell. This is a wonderful, wonderful publication, I think very appropriate for the beginning of a new year. And then Louis Legrand, Love Lives On. We're going to be talking with him. And we've got so many wonderful, wonderful guests talking about environmental issues, health issues, how to make your life richer and fuller. So many good people out there giving the best of what they have to help us in our own way move forward. And there's so many wonderful perspectives, and that's one of the joys that I have about doing the show and sharing this information with you, because it enables me to let you see that there's more than one way of dealing with situations. Perspectives are very significant, and how we work with our perspectives is extremely important too. And because of that, I wanted to share with you a story about a woman who really was having a problem dealing with a member of their family having died. And she said, who would have thought that an animal weighing just 1 pound would have been able to change my attitude and my life? Well, this woman, Janice, and she's in Illinois, by the way, her daughter, Joy, was with her, and they had stopped at a pet store. And her daughter, Joy, said, Mom, what are we doing here? What in the world are you doing? And I said, well, I don't know. I think we need to pick up some dog food for our pets. And we're so, you know, sad over Grandma passing away that maybe just being around some puppies and some animals will make us feel better. Well, Janice really didn't believe that. She said, I absolutely have a passion for animals, but there wasn't going to be a puppy alive that had a chance of making me feel better. She said, having my mom back would have done that, but she's gone, and there's no way that that was going to change. So they're in the store, and they're hearing these two girls chatting behind the counter. And this is what they heard. One of the gals said to the other, so sad about Spooky, it really breaks your heart. Well, when Janice was buying the dog food for her other pets, she said, who's Spooky? And this other girl that was chatting said, oh, Spooky is what we have named this puppy. We call him that because he's always looking so frightened. And we've had him in the store for a while. And she said, wow, why don't you show me this little puppy? And her daughter looked at her, and her mom, and she said, Mom, what are you up to? Well, within just a few seconds, the sales girl was back with the tiniest dog Janice had ever seen. And his head was droopy, eyes were closed, and he just looked as if he was dying. It's as if every breath he was taking was his last. And both of the salespeople loved this little dog and were just gently petting it with its fingers, because it was so tiny. Well, the proprietor happened to come in while all of this was going on, and she scolded the girls, the sales girls that had brought the animal out. She said, what are you doing? And she turned to Janice, and she said, I'm really sorry, ma'am. We have other healthy puppies for you to see, but this one we don't expect is going to last a week. Well, the dog was whisked away in just a matter of a minute, and Joy, Janice's daughter, said, Mom, wasn't that the saddest little dog you have ever seen? Well, Janice's heart, as well as her mind, was very strongly affected, and they just couldn't get over thinking about the dog, even after they went home. Well, to their surprise, when they got home, there was a jewelry box, and there was an envelope in the jewelry box that they hadn't noticed. And on the front of the envelope were two words, and it was in her mother's hand, and it said, from Janice. Well, her mom had passed away, so she wondered what it was. When she opened it, she said inside was a crisp $100 bill, and she knew immediately where that $100 bill had come from. Because years back, she had found herself having an extra $100, and her mother was having some health problems, so she decided to give this extra money she had to her mom to cheer her up. She said, I want you to do something special. I want you to do something that's going to make you feel good. Well, guess what? That $100 had never been spent. She said, here it was back in her hands again, and she decided, as well as her daughter, simultaneously, wow, all right, let's go back to the pet store and get that little dog. Well, they knew they were probably totally insane about doing this because they already had three dogs at home, and there was just so much they had been going through with the death of Grandma. However, the pet store owner just really didn't want to sell them the dog. Said, we just don't feel good about this. And her daughter said, don't worry about it. Go get the pup, and we don't want to call him Spooky. So as they were taking their tiny, tiny little dog home, they decided they were going to call him Franco. When Janice's husband, Bob, came home from work, and he said, what is that you've got? He said, a puppy. He said, looks more like a mouse. And he took the towel, and he peeled it back from this tiny little puppy, and he said, a really sick mouse. Well, the two women members of the family, Joy and Janice, decided they were going to work with this dog, took him to the vet, found out he had had pneumonia. The vet didn't even hold out any hope. You know what? They found that this dog had a heart, and they just said, you know what? We are not going to give up on you. And so she started trying again, and it hadn't been working, feeding him baby food. And what she would do, she would just put her little finger into the jar of baby food, and a tiny bit would be on the tongue. Remember, this is a puppy that's not even a pound. And by golly, the little guy started licking her finger. And they just knew he had turned the corner. So he started walking because he was getting some nutrition. And finally, he tipped the scale at a full pound. And after that, it was the rest of a story of joy and love in a family, and I've got a picture of this little tiny dog. She can hold this little thing in her hand, just a little bit over a pound. I think he's about 2 pounds now, but just absolutely the littlest creature. And fortunately, there had been a gift that had been left behind by her mom for $100 that enabled her to take this little creature and raise it, and it's now a very happy, sassy member of the family. I thought that was a great way to start off our new year. I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great one. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.